listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. This account that we're going to be looking at here in John chapter 1, Jesus has been calling disciples. He calls Andrew, he calls Peter, he calls these other disciples. He comes across, as he goes to Galilee, this man named Philip. He just says, come and follow me. And the next thing you know, Philip is not just a disciple. He's going to someone he knows, to Nathanael, and he is telling him about Jesus. Now, how does this happen? You just see a guy on the street say, come follow me. And the next thing you know, he is out there. Well, I guess we could put it in our modern terms. He's out there evangelizing for you. Seems a bit of a miracle, if you ask me. Not to mention the Nathanael account, where Jesus seems to find Nathanael a little more difficult of a disciple to call. We're going to be talking about all of that as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Is this a miracle that Jesus goes to Galilee, he finds Philip, and a lot of people are finding a lot of people in this text. We'll talk about that a little bit later. He finds Philip and he says to him, follow me. And from that point on, Philip is a disciple. That sounds miraculous.
We do need to remember that some of the disciples that Jesus picked up were also disciples of John the Baptizer. And they heard John the Baptizer himself say, behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. Also, when he's talking with Jesus, he probably hears things that helps convince him through faith, because the Holy Spirit has given him the faith that Jesus is the one of whom Moses and others in the law and the prophets have written. But I want to make one kind of point here, which I find very interesting, and this was an insight I had never seen before until I read it in Growing in Christ, which is, of course, the Sunday school literature. It says very clearly in verse 43 that Jesus finds Philip. But then when you get to Philip talking to Nathanael, he says two verses later, we found Jesus. And it kind of reminds me that the disciples, even though they had that initial faith that Jesus is the King of Israel, the Son of God, it takes them a while to get taught the proper theology. How many people today kind of look to maybe Philip as the one when they say, you know, why are you saved? Well, I found Jesus when I invited him into my heart, or so forth. They have all kinds of ways where they take the credit in finding Jesus. So faith is there, no doubt about it, but it's a faith that still needs the Word in order to become more in tune that it isn't that Philip found Jesus, but Jesus found Philip.
So what do we make of that, all this finding that's happening here?
Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And in a sense, what he's doing, he's fulfilling what really didn't happen properly in the Old Testament. We've already looked at that with the temptations of 40 days, just like the 40 years of Israel where they failed. But one of the other things is the 12 tribes, in a sense, failed. Some of them were taken into captivity through Samaria, others through the Babylonian captivity. Jesus now is going to be choosing 12 disciples. And it's of some interest to know that in Revelation, it talks about 24 elders. And Dr. Brighton, who is the main one who wrote an excellent commentary on Revelation that can be bought from Concordia Publishing House, makes the point that that probably is standing for the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. In other words, the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are the elders there in heaven. And so Jesus is finding these individuals in order to become his disciples so that the number 12 is in fulfillment of what happened in the Old Testament.
Now, the account of Philip going to Nathanael, he goes there, and the way he introduces Jesus, even though Jesus hasn't appeared on the scene yet, he says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What is he saying there about Jesus when he says, "the one of whom Moses and also the prophets wrote"?
Yes. This is before the greatest Bible study that ever took place, and that is the Bible study on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is talking to two disciples, and boy, what does he say? He tells them that, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" That's Luke chapter 24. To the religious leaders of Judaism, listen to what he says in John 5:39. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, for it is they that bear witness about me, not about your works." And then John 5:46. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." And then Peter, in one of his sermons, Acts chapter 3, he spells out that. He says, "What God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." And listen to verse 21 of Acts 3. "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days.'" And so that is what is meant here, that Jesus of Nazareth is the one of whom Moses and the law and all the prophets wrote.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with him as we teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael in John chapter 1. He hosts this radio program called Law and Gospel. You'll find more out about Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Stay tuned.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Are you looking for a quality Christian high school education in the Lutheran tradition? My name is Dr. Jay Krause, principal of Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, inviting you to our open house on Sunday, February 21st, from 1 to 3 in the afternoon here at our Edwardsville campus. You can meet faculty and staff, administration, students and parents, and find out more about our dynamic ministry. For more information, contact us at 618-656-0043 or check out our new website at melhs.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California.
Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California, Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California, Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan, St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois, St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois, Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin, St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri, Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas, St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas, University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Bilk, and Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Calls Philip and Nathanael in John chapter 1. There in the call of Philip and Nathanael, after Philip has essentially said, you know, we found the promised Messiah, Nathanael's response is interesting. He says, what good can come out of Nazareth? Because Philip has told him it's Jesus of Nazareth. What's Nathanael saying there, Tom?
Nazareth was what we would consider in some cities. They often refer to the inner city as the real problem. I used to drive yellow cab, and I was cautioned not to go into the inner cities. I still went there because if there was a woman with children, I would pick them up, and they were always a good cab. But you had to be careful. There was no doubt in some areas. Nazareth had that kind of a reputation. It was a small, it was an insignificant town. In fact, well, what's happening here is, once more, we've got somebody who's making the same mistake that the wise men made. Okay, we're going to go see the newborn Son of God. So they go to Herod's temple. And who would have thought that he was born in Bethlehem? In other words, God doesn't do the things the way we think they should be done. He thinks contrary to a way a human being would think. And therefore, Nazareth, that's the town you came from? Well, that seems kind of odd, but that's what he was known by, the one whose father was Joseph from the town of Nazareth.
Then when Jesus encounters Nathanael, sees him from a distance, his first, I guess, take or a pronouncement about the guy is, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. What is that about?
Yes, this term guile is a very important one. It really just means that this person is someone who is going to speak their mind, and they're going to speak what they think is the truth. For example, when Isaac is talking to Esau about Jacob, he uses the word guile. He says, your brother came deceitfully. That's another word, the word guile, deceitfully or craftily. Or when Paul is preaching, he says, our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any other attempt to deceive. Another word for guile. Or 1 Peter 3:10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So, you do not necessarily need to be a believer to have no guile. Unbelievers, you can really trust some unbelievers. They may be managers of a store, and they're selling things really at the best possible price. They don't try to trick you. There's no deceit there. There's no manipulation. So this is something that doesn't particularly mean that he is somebody who is a believer, although we do believe that he is a believer, Nathanael. But what is astonishing, you know, this is almost kind of interesting. I laughed the first time I read this. Jesus says to him, here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael says, oh, how do you know me? And Nathanael takes, oh, yeah, that's a pretty good compliment. That is me. And that's how he responds. And Jesus then says, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, these two items definitely show that Jesus has omniscience and that he's also omnipresent. We need to understand that, yes, he's in his humanity, but occasionally he does use his divine attributes. And unless the Father had told him about Nathaniel there, he definitely talks about Nathaniel in a way that Nathaniel responds, wow, for the Son of God, the King Israel. And he does that because he well knows that part of being the Messiah is being the Son of God.
Okay, so he proclaims him to be an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And then the conversation continues, you know, how do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree. Jesus' response seems a little out of place or kind of overblown. He says to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending on the Son of Man. What does that mean?
Yes, I had just visited a shut-in recently, and he has he's back from surgery. He's at home, but he's not allowed to drive for 4 weeks. And he even knew the date when he was going to be able to drive. Well, his wife needs to see a doctor, and it's a specialist. And they phoned the doctor, and the doctor said that the first time he was open for an appointment just so happened to be the very day that he was able to drive on the first day. And I remember he looked at me, he said, boy, this really shows that God is with us. And a lot of us do that. We take a look at coincidences that happen in our life. I had 150 pages of coincidences years ago. Every night I would think, boy, how is this happening? And this really kind of was helpful towards me because, boy, these wouldn't have happened without God. But Nathaniel just simply takes the idea that Jesus saw him, and Jesus is saying to him, well, you believe in me because of that little coincidence? Let me tell you something else. And what he does, he reminds him of Genesis 28. Jacob had left Beersheba and was going toward Haran. He slept one night out there in the wilderness, put a stone under his head, but he had a dream. And there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord, and the word for Lord there is the name of God, Yahweh, stood above it, saying, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Now, if we had more time, I could show that this is none other than Jesus himself. And that this also is going to be the experience of Nathaniel, that the angels of God at the death of Nathaniel are going to be taking his spirit to Jesus, who is the Lord. And once more, we underscore the point that the children need to hear from the Sunday school teachers. We do not find Jesus. We do not climb up to Jesus. Jesus finds us, lost sheep, and then he brings us up to heaven, and that's the significance of that ladder.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tom has mentioned here several times already in today's conversation the Growing in Christ Sunday School curriculum. This is a plan for the Sunday school classroom that spans the entire church year, following generally the course of the church year and dealing with all of these texts, Old Testament, New Testament, in an even-handed way. Doesn't, like so many Sunday school curriculum, doesn't focus on just the big stories, because the goal of growing in Christ is not simply to partake or to give to our children an interesting story during the Sunday school hour. The goal here is to point them to Christ and his cross. That's why we say it is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about growing in Christ right there at our website, issuesetc.org. It'll be on the Listen on Demand page, and you can also browse before you buy there at our website. They'll send you a free sample, by the way, if you give them a call, Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the race for the White House with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. We'll be talking to Terry Mattingly about media coverage of the celibacy of Pope John Paul II. And we'll continue our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talk with Dr. Ken Sherb about Luther's Invocavit sermons. This is a week of sermons that Luther preaches after being 10 months away from Wittenberg. He returns to find, well, chaos, and he begins to preach sermons every day from the Wittenberg Church, calling the people that thought they were doing the right thing of the Reformation back to the true Reformation, back to the Word of God, and back to the gospel. We'll talk about that tomorrow with Dr. Ken Sherb. What do you see there in Nathaniel? You see a man who was chosen, found, picked out before he even knew Jesus existed. The same is true of you from before the foundation of the world. You have been chosen in Christ for this salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.